This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher. And in the USA, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, Johnny and Nick.
Hey, guys. Good to be back.
And of course, where you are, Nick, it's not quite afternoon yet, so apologies. Good morning to you. Let's go through the news of the day. We've had the latest core PCE numbers, Nick, and they are slightly above expectations. So how have markets reacted to that news?
Yeah, Johnny, we had the personal consumption expenditures come out this morning. And for listeners, one thing to note about this is that the Fed commonly refers to this as their preferred measurement of inflation. It gets down to the roots of the real day-to-day feels of the consumer and their spending prices. So it matters, obviously, to their dual mandate of keeping price stability as well as maximum employment. What's interesting here, as you mentioned, Johnny, is that 2.8% year-over-year core PCE came out this morning. That was higher than expected, slightly than the 2.7. They also revised the previous months from 2.6 up to 2.7. So a little bit of an uptick in the inflation story. If you recall, that was a very positive and welcomed thing last week by markets. So any progress in the opposite direction is obviously not what we wanted to see in terms of rate cuts coming sooner, et cetera. That being said, the market's reaction is kind of interesting because you actually see the dollar index a bit flat here today. And when we take a look at treasury yields, the 10-year is actually down on the day by a good bit, 1.33% in terms of a change basis, putting it on an actual basis of 4.3% for 10-year bonds. So interesting stuff here. We see bonds up today, and it does seem like there's a bit of uncertainty in this market because at the same time as bonds being up, Johnny, we have gold up 0.72%. And I would be remiss if I didn't take some time to just call attention to yet another all-time high for the price of gold. We are trading at $3,078 an ounce at the time of recording this. That is, of course, the spot price of gold. And one might wonder, with Liberation Day, quote unquote, or Doomsday, depending on who you ask and their political viewpoints, right around the corner, one might ask, you know, is it really that coincidental that gold continues to push higher amidst all this uncertainty, right? There's people who are, of course, it's a very highly controversial, divisive subject. But typically what we see in response to that is markets love to flock to a place where they feel they can get some security. That seems to be the gold market right now. And, you know, it does not seem to be the dollar index. Dollar index has been kind of flat in recent times, and it certainly does not seem to be stocks, which are still, you know, well off their highs. The NASDAQ down, I think it's like 6 or 7% on the year-to-date performance, down today about 0.6% at the time of recording this. Bitcoin also down 2%. I mean, you're seeing a pretty good slide here in risk assets, and notably bonds and, of course, gold up today, as well as the Japanese yen, just signals a bit of a still risk-off tone to this market.
It does remain unclear how far the White House is willing to go. I mean, we had, 24 hours ago, 25% on non-US automobiles. Do you think markets feel that there might be some change to these measures between now and the 2nd of April?
I think so, because let's look at some interesting points to kind of back this idea. Okay, yes, gold is up. Bonds are up today slightly, but here's a pushback on the theory that, you know, this market is super risk off and super scared and thinks that Trump's going to do the worst case scenario. Bond prices are not screaming higher. Right? They're up a little bit today. But if the TLT, which is an ETF that tracks treasury bonds, if that was ripping to new heights, if that was massively breaking out and yields were dropping, and we had massive expectations that the Fed was going to cut rates in anticipation of the devastating effects of tariffs, if that was the true story that the market was buying into, I think the bond market would be telling us. The bond market's actually kind of saying, maybe there's a little bit of uncertainty here, but the bond market is not pricing a massive drop-off in growth like perhaps news headlines and the stock market are kind of trying to tell you. So there's a divergence here, right? Stock market's telling you multiple contraction on companies, you know, we're having problems and this is not going to get any better and the automakers are down big and there are real problems out there that this poses, but the bond market is not signaling massive fall off in U.S. economic growth. And I think that that's really important to pay attention to. Same thing, you know, the dollar's down, But if there was a massive, you know, oh, this is going to completely unwind the U.S. economy, we'd see some bigger moves out there. So I think that the market is sitting in anticipation. I also think that if you take a look at the VIX in response to the recent activity, the VIX has really fallen. We're at a 19.5 VIX. That's not a market that's like on the precipice of falling apart. If you were at a 35 VIX right now, I'd say, okay, yeah, risk is very elevated. And of course, the VIX can jump pretty aggressively and pretty suddenly. But right now, I would say the market is signaling that, you know, maybe there is some, as you've discussed, some potential for a negotiation between now and quote unquote Liberation Day.
And you're right, Nick, of course, so something could change, or even after April the 2nd, they could rescind the tariff rates, because that has happened before as well. Kenny, what's your view?
Well, just following up on that, Johnny, as you mentioned, with Trump could possibly rescind. We've seen that, for example, with the U.S. and Canada. He's imposed tariffs, then suspended them, and then reimposed them. And here's a person, a president in this case, who likes to make a deal, likes to push as hard as he can. So this could be some kind of very heavy-handed negotiation tactic. As Nick said, the markets are not indicating that the sky is falling, and perhaps a lot of investors are expecting some kind of retreat or agreement between now and Wednesday.
We live in fascinating times. Kenny, we've had U.S. Core inflation numbers today. We've also got the latest from Japan as well, with their core consumer inflation, which has stayed above the central bank's target and actually accelerated in March due to gains in food costs, apparently, which keeps alive those market expectations of a near-term interest rate hike from Tokyo.
That's correct, Johnny. Tokyo CPI was up to 2.9%. which was compared to 2.8% a month earlier. And the core CPI was up to 2.4%. That's up from 2.2% and again above expectations. So the rather strong inflation report put out today does support the Bank of Japan continuing to hike. The magic question is always, of course, when. The BOJ is usually very careful not to signify a timeline. But the markets are looking at May, perhaps, as a further date for a rate hike with about a 27% chance as we're speaking. Interestingly, earlier this week, Bank of Japan Governor Ueda said that the current spike in food prices, we've seen a huge spike in rice prices especially, he said that's temporary and that would not necessitate a rate hike. But if food prices and other variables such as import prices become more broad-based, then the Bank of Japan would respond with a rate hike. So we are seeing a bit more, I'd say, more transparency from the central bank than we have in the past. It's pretty clear that they plan to raise rates during the year, but unlike, for example, the Fed or the Bank of England, we're not going to see them circle a specific date and allow the markets to know that something's coming. They'd like to keep, especially speculators, a bit on edge. But it does look like they will continue to tighten policy in the coming months.
And meanwhile, here in the UK, we've seen British retail sales rise in February, again beating expectations despite flagging consumer confidence and certainly lackluster economic growth. Talking of interest rates or interest rate cuts, figures like that don't necessarily encourage the Bank of England to cut rates when it comes to, say, May, which is what we think has been piloted as the next rate cut from the Bank of England.
That's correct, Johnny. That was really an excellent summary, I'd say. It's a little hard to know what the Bank of England plans to do. But as you mentioned, retail sales, there was a title which I saw in one of the financial publications today. UK retail sales beat gloomy expectations. And we saw that the monthly retail sales were up by 1%. The expectation was minus 0.3%. And yearly retail sales were up 2.2%. The market estimate was minus 0.5%. So I think investors are really breathing a sigh of relief to see that consumers are spending despite the sluggish economy. But the economy, as you mentioned, is not in good shape. GDP in the fourth quarter was only 0.1%, which is pretty negligent. And the Office for Budget Responsibility just this week lowered its growth forecast to 1%. So the government really has its hands full trying to revive the economy. And the Bank of England, I think, would like to press the rate cut button, but it'll have to wait a little bit longer, as well as the U.S. tariffs. We talked about next week. Things could really unfold in the States. So I think the Bank of England will also, like other central banks, be in a bit of a cautious wait-and-see mode to see how things develop in the next week or two.
And it's very difficult for central banks, isn't it? Because with the threat of these tariffs coming up, it'll take some time for the effect of the tariffs to really bake through. They won't really know the effect on, say, inflation until maybe 2 or 3 months after the tariffs are imposed. So I wouldn't want to be a central bank governor right now, although I wouldn't mind the salary. So as we've said, next Wednesday, April the 2nd, is so-called Liberation Day. What else is coming up, Nick, over the next few days?
On Sunday, we get the manufacturing PMI out of China. Of course, definitely an important thing when it comes to global trade as well as the global economy. So we've got that on Friday. Monday, we hear from the RBA from Australia, of course. So then we have on Tuesday, the ISM manufacturing PMIs, job openings, and manufacturing prices from the United States. That will be pretty big for April 1st. And then, as you mentioned, the big April 2nd date, that's going to be Wednesday of next week. We also get ADP numbers on that day. And then to end out the week, we have the services PMI on Thursday, of course, our weekly unemployment claims. And finally, to end the first week of April, our NFP day, and of course, Canada unemployment rate as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much, guys. We'll speak to you again next week.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.